Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. Today we're going to talk about a day to remember. Memorials. It's funny that that's the title of the message. This morning I wanted to mention, we started a building fund drive back at the end of November. And I wanted to share with you how much the Lord had blessed and give you the totals of what had been collected and applied toward our banknote back since that time we began giving to the chest of Joash. And I'd really like to do that, but I forgot what those totals were. I think it was something over $40,000. Is that, Miss Ruby, do you remember? All right. $44,000. Praise God. You know, that's in like a 3-month period that God has enabled us to give to that purpose. And that box in the back, of course, the chest of Joash, we spent about a month talking about that. And every time you see that book or that chest, I hope it's a reminder to you of the commitment that you made. And this commitment is supposed to run till the 1st of May. And God is doing well. He's blessing, and God's people are giving faithfully. And we just praise God for that privilege. Amen. All right. Joshua chapter 4. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word about a day to remember? Joshua chapter 4 and verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man for every tribe, and command them, saying, 'Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, saying, "What do these stones mean to you?" then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed over Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Tony Moore, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Start with a question. Do you have trouble remembering things? And I'm not lifting hands up toward heaven. I'm lifting both hands admitting I have trouble remembering things. Okay? It is a plague. We are prone to forget. And this morning, God gave the children of Israel that we read here an instruction to build a memorial. And that's the idea of a memorial. It's a means of reminding us so we don't forget. It's something that causes us to remember an event or remember someone. And we have memorials all over the United States of America. In our lives, we have special days of memorials. Birthdays and anniversaries. Do you remember birthdays and anniversaries? I do pretty good on anniversary most of the time. Some birthdays I kind of let slip. They sneak up on me. We have calendar, special days on the calendar. Independence Day, President's Day, Veterans Day, Memorial Day. Also, we're so that we don't forget. Sometimes I think we have so many special days that we forget what a special day is, you know. We have Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter. It's supposed to serve to remind us to give thanks and to celebrate the birth of Christ and to celebrate His resurrection. All these special days are so we don't forget. We have monuments. If you go to Washington, D.C., you'll see things like the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Memorial. If you go to Oklahoma City, last time I was there, they had built the Oklahoma City Memorial in remembrance of the bombing of the federal building there. And special memorials so that we don't forget. World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War memorials so we don't forget. We even have cemeteries. And you know that's what a cemetery is. It's just one gigantic monument. Right? And every cemetery, and there are hundreds and sometimes even thousands of stone monuments that'll have the name of the person that's there in that grave. Their birth date and their date of passing. Sometimes it'll have a nice little phrase like, blessed mother, blessed father, you know. All so we don't forget. I wish it worked for me. Because I am very forgetful. I lean on people at times and I will say, would you remind me not to forget to do this? And I've had people look at me and say, right. Like, I'm going to remember. You know? We're prone to forget. We forget names. I don't know how many people have told me, oh, I'm terrible with names. Have you ever thought that? I think the problem probably is because we don't build some sort of memorial in our mind to help us remember these things. We forget birthdays. We forget anniversaries. We forget a lot of things. That's why God gave the children of Israel this command to build a monument, to build a memorial. Because some things just should not be forgotten. And that's what we're going to start today doing. We're going to start remembering. The goal of this message is that we build a memorial today that we will never, ever forget. That every time we look at it, it'll be a remembrance to us. As a matter of fact, we've built a memorial. 12 stones. And you're going to have to look at these 12 stones for the next 3 months. And every time you look at these stones, I want you to remember two things. I want you to remember, number one, how great our God is. Okay? Because that's what this memorial was about. He said, build that memorial. Take 12 stones from the bottom of the Jordan River and take them over to where you're going to camp. And you set those stones in a heap. And every time that you look at those, and when your children ask, what are this pile of stones about? You tell them they're about the day that God cut off the waters of the Jordan River. And we walked across on dry ground. You see, Israel has spent the last 40 years wandering in the wilderness. They are people who have watched an entire generation who were disobedient to the command of God, who 40 years earlier had stood at this same position, but they refused to go in because they said, we can't take this land. And they've spent the last 40 years wandering in the wilderness, watching that generation die. Basically having no purpose except wondering. They've been a nation without a land. But I can't help but think, and I'm assured that in the back of their mind, they've been looking forward to this day for 40 years. They haven't forgotten that they've been promised a land flowing with milk and honey. And I believe there has been a constant craving to see the day when they cross over this Jordan River. That's the day they've been waiting for 40 years. And this is their first step in crossing. And taking the land is the crossing of the Jordan. And the first instruction was build a memorial so that you will not forget. And you can tell it to your children that this was the day that God cut off the water and you crossed Jordan. This was the day that God displayed His mighty and massive power. The point I want you to get, number one, is that Israel would not have been where they were had it not been for the almighty power of a faithful God that they served. They were there. They crossed that river. They were in the promised land because of the power and the faithfulness of Almighty God. Today, we as a church, we begin our study on discipleship. And the first thing we need to do before we, as we get into this Sunday school study, and you're going to hear it in Sunday school class for the next 3 months, and you're going to hear it preached for the next 3 months, and the first thing we need to do in this journey is to build our monument that will remind us of the faithfulness of our great God. Because if we don't grab hold of what an awesome God we serve, we're going to lack the motivation that we need to serve Him. God is great. And Victory Missionary Baptist Church is Victory Missionary Baptist Church because of the greatness of Almighty God. If you were here 22 years ago, back in 1990, this church first started, if you're a charter member, would you please stand? If you were here at that time, glory to God. Okay? You look. And first of all, let's give them a hand of appreciation. And the reason I say that is because they put themselves out there to be used of God in a mighty way. In 1990, this church started with their first meeting. If I remember right, there were about 25 people here. 25 people. And then a month later, there was, I think, 58 people here. And then a short time later, there was 100 people here. And now, look at where God has brought Victory. Look around you. It is not just because of the faithful pastors, even though God has blessed with good pastors. He's blessed with good church leaders. He blessed with a good core group in the very beginning who were willing to step out there and follow the leadership of God. It is because Victory is here because of the power and the faithfulness of Almighty God working in the lives of those 25 people who began. Today, I want you to remember how great God is. This church is a tribute to the faithfulness of the God that we serve. My friends, God is good. He's blessed this church. He's blessed you as individuals. He's blessed you as families. He's been there for you. How many have been through tough times? Would you please raise your hand? Do you know why you come out those tough times? Because God is faithful. And I want you to just start by remembering how good God is to have brought us to this point. So where are we, Brother Doug? Well, in effect, symbolically, I think we're on the banks of our Jordan River ready to cross over and claim the promises of God. I believe that we are sitting on the edge of a church explosion. I truly do. Everywhere, and by explosion, I mean that in a good way, okay? I don't mean a church blow up. I mean a church revival. A revival where we see souls saved and where we see the saved committed. I believe, as I look around, I see a college ministry that's growing. I love our college students. Amen, don't you? We are so glad that you're here. And what a magnificent opportunity it is. I see our youth and Brother Michael working with the youth and the opportunity that's there. I see our Awana. I see our seniors ministry. I guess I just need to say I love them all. Because I do. But I appreciate our seniors. the prayer warriors that they are, the faithfulness that they are. Everywhere I look, I see a potential. But listen, we don't realize that potential until we cross over. Okay? It's just like Israel sitting on the banks of the Jordan River looking over saying, that's the promised land. There comes a point in time when you say, this is the great God we serve. We're going to have to cross over. We're going to have to dedicate ourselves. We're going to have to follow God's leading. Each time in the days that lie ahead, I pray that these stones before you will be a reminder of the greatness of God and our need to follow His leading. I pray that these stones will be a memorial of commitment. Now here, we're getting down to the meat and potatoes of the message. Not only were the stones going to remind them how great God was, but the stones were going to remind them that they actually had to make a commitment and cross. You see, 40 years before, the nation of Israel had this same opportunity, and they sent in spies to the land, and the spies come back and said, oh no, there are giants in that land, we can't do it. Listen, there's no such thing as we can't when God's involved. And I believe you had a nation who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Without purpose and aimless, all because that 40 years prior to this, they said, oh no, we can't. Oh no, we won't. Today we set up this memorial as a remembrance of the awesome power of Almighty God, but also a memorial that will put us in remembrance of the commitment that we make to the awesome God that we serve. If you will notice, in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, okay, let's stop right there. This says it all. The first line. When all the people had completely crossed. I cannot imagine the massive numbers that crossed as God dried up the bed of that river. I'm told by theologians and others that like 3.5 million people came out of Egypt. I don't know how many are crossing the Jordan at this point, but I know had you been on the other side of the Jordan River looking down, it would have been an awesome sight, especially as you see the water piled up to one side and just all and nothing holding it but the hand of God. And then the dry ground, and you see this multitude, this massive multitude. And the thing that I want to point out to you is they took everybody with them. Okay? They took everyone. This was, they left no one behind. They had their kids, they had their adults, they had their leaders, they had their non-leaders, they all crossed. They had warriors, men who were old enough to fight, who crossed. Later on you read about that, there's about 40,000 of them. There were men that were too young to be warriors at that point. They crossed. There were men too old to be warriors, and they crossed. They took the whole bunch with them. I want you to chew on that for just a moment. Everybody went. And when everybody got across, as the soles of the priest's feet that were carrying the ark, when the soles of their feet stepped up out of that riverbed, you know what happened? The water came back. And it covered. It was in a flood at that particular time. And it flooded the ground. Now, why do I point that out? Well, number one, I wanted you to catch that they took everybody with them. Everybody crossed. And once they crossed, God put the water back, meaning there's no turning back now. Okay? No turning back now. Had they looked back behind them, all they would have saw was a flood of water. And for the years to come, they're going to tell their children that when their children see the stones, they're going to tell them, that's the day my life changed forever. every tribe, every member, all crossed. And they'll never be the same again. Today, I pray, will mark a change in your life so that you will never be the same again. You know what we need at Victory? We need a people who will commit to the cause of Christ. We need a people who will make Christ the Lord of our life. And today is the first day of our discipleship study. A 3-month study. And we all know we're commanded in the Great Commission to go and make disciples. But let me tell you, we often view that from the viewpoint we're supposed to go out. But listen, you can't make disciples until you are one. Okay? You can't make disciples until you are one. It just does not work. See, a disciple is a learner, a dedicated person to his master teacher, and he follows him wherever that teacher goes, always looking for an opportunity to gain knowledge or to learn something from their teacher. That means where their teacher is, that's where you'll find them. If you'll remember, Jesus had the 12 and they went with him everywhere he went. The first step in discipleship is becoming a disciple by committing your life to Christ. Okay? And yeah, it starts with salvation, but you see, there are a lot of people who have committed to Christ for salvation, but Jesus is not the Lord, the master teacher of their life. Grab hold of this. Jesus is not first in the lives of most children of God. He's not. I mean, we've confessed Him as Lord and Savior, but we've not made Him the Lord of our lives, meaning He's the number one priority. And today, I'm asking for the membership of Victory Missionary Baptist Church to make a commitment that it'll be a new day, a new attitude, a renewed commitment. That today will be the day that your life is never the same again because you became a true disciple of Jesus Christ, looking for every opportunity to learn of Him. And it starts with faithfulness. I'm asking you for a 3-month commitment to be faithful at Victory Missionary Baptist Church. I'm asking you to be here on Sunday morning. To be here on Sunday night. To be here on Wednesday night. Yes, even Wednesday night. We have a wonderful Bible study on Wednesday night that I just absolutely love because it's very informal and different people participate and it's just awesome. You know, for me it's awesome. And yes, even Sunday night. What happens between Sunday morning and Sunday night? Hear the old pin drop now, can't you? There's no difference between worship on Sunday morning and worship on Sunday night. There's not. Oh, listen. What I'm asking you for today is to make that commitment that today that will your life will never be the same by making Jesus the Lord. The leader. I'm asking you for no more excuses. Oh, Brother Doug, I would have been there, but I just didn't feel like it. Listen, if you're sick, certainly stay home and get well. But the problem in most churches today is that we just can't see getting up out of the recliner to come back on Sunday night. That's an excuse. That's an excuse. Amen? Okay? If God's worthy, if Jesus is worthy of our faithfulness, He is worthy of our faithfulness. Let us be faithful as disciples of Christ. I'm asking you for a commitment to Sunday school. Sunday morning Bible study. I'm trying to get out of the habit of calling it Sunday school. The reason, because I think that kind of carries a negative connotation with it. Most adults don't want to go to Sunday school. Whatever you call it, it's an opportunity to get into God's Word with God's people. It's an opportunity to ask questions. See, you don't get to ask me questions on Sunday morning or Sunday night. But in a Sunday school classroom, you get to share ideas and hear concerns and hear other people's feelings on the Word of God. I'm going to ask you that you make a 3-month commitment to Sunday morning Bible study. Well, Brother Doug, I don't really have a class. Listen, come, we'll get you a class. Okay? We'll get you a class, I promise you. Come. The idea is that church growth happens and it not just be a numbers game, but it be a spiritual thing. Yeah, numbers we'll get the numbers. But the question is, are you growing as a child of God? Are you growing in your closeness and in your walk with Christ? That's the idea of discipleship. I'm asking for a commitment of every member of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. You say, well, Brother Doug, I work. And listen, God's given you that job. I know. Okay? I'm not asking you to give up your way of making a living. Okay? I understand all that. I'm asking you to be faithful in every aspect of your walk with Christ. Okay? I'm asking you not to wear that recliner out on Sunday nights. Not to wear your television set out on Sunday nights. I'm asking you to be faithful and come to Sunday school for 3 months. 3 months, a 3-month commitment. I'm asking you to be faithful in the choir. Oh, let me tell you something. I hadn't talked to Brother Dale about this, but I'm going to preach on the choir a little bit. Number one, there should never be a Sunday when we can't have choir for lack of participation. Okay, we should. Everybody can't sing, and I know everybody's not going to be in the choir. I understand that, and I appreciate that. Okay? Oh, but listen, just because we, for some reason or another, don't feel like going to the choir today is a very poor excuse to not have choir that praises God. And I know it's a rare occasion that happens, but it does happen, doesn't it, Brother Dale? It does. And I'm going to tell you something. Were I the choir director, it would break my heart. Because the effort that's put into the preparation of a song service, I'm asking for a commitment to our committees. That when your committee meets, you be there and you be ready to serve. I'm asking for a commitment from our Sunday school teachers. Listen, if you're a teacher, don't be late for your class. Ever. What that tells the people that are in your class is you don't care. Okay? Don't be late for your class. The only reason you should ever be late is on the way, your car breaks down and you just can't get it fixed to get here. We just couldn't get around. That's a poor excuse. Amen? Well, I tried, but we just couldn't get around. No. That's a poor excuse. You've just told your class you don't care. I'm asking for a commitment from every member of Victory Missionary Baptist Church to serve and be faithful like we have never been before. And when that happens, you watch what God does. We got some time. Didn't know whether I was going to do this or not, but I'm going to do it. Kind of out on a limb this morning, might as well go out all the way to the end, right? Paul, Alan, would you come here? Ryan, would you come here? Sneaking up. And I'm not going to embarrass you. Trey? I saw Trey earlier. Court, would you come here? We have children. We have teens. We have college students. And I want to tell you, they give life to this church. You know? I just watch them and I have to smile. And I thank God for every one of them. For every one of them. We have men, we have women, we have seniors. Brother Glover, would you come here? I want you to represent our seniors today. Brother Mike Brady, would you come here? You represent our men. Miss Debbie, would you come here? And you represent our women. You represent. We have preachers, we have teachers, we have deacons. Brother Don, would you come represent our deacons? Brother Tony Moore, would you come represent our teachers? Brother Greg, would you come represent preachers in the church? Brother Dale, would you come represent the choir? Brother Michael, would you come represent the church staff? Brother David, I hate to pick on you, but you're kind of close to the front. Could y'all step up here just a moment and represent our families? I'm not going to make you speak or anything like that. But I want to give you a visual reference. That's all right. There is a lot of diversity here. I mean, there's a big difference between Paul and Brother Glover. But I want to tell you something. The difference is wonderful. Because everyone has their contribution to the church family. Okay? I mean, we have seniors like Brother Glover who are contributing in faithfulness and prayer. And we have Paul and Ryan and Court who just fires us up with life. We need that life. We have Sunday school teachers who are dedicated to their Sunday school class each week putting in hours of preparation time. We have church staff that throughout the week are here ministering. We have families. We have a choir. And the wonderful thing is that everyone in this church is different. But the awesome thing is that we are the body of Christ. And when we connect in one accord as the church in Acts, connected and commit for the honor and the glory of God, we have a powerful God who can do all things. That's the beauty of it. I wanted you to see the difference in everyone. But I also want you to see the unity. And I want to ask you to stand. We're going to all stand. And we're going to have prayer for our church. That today will be the day of commitment. That today will be the day that God begins to build real disciples at Victory. And I'll tell you what, Brother Greg, would you lead us in this prayer, please?
Our Father, we bow in Your presence and we indeed acknowledge that You are the one, the only great God. And Father, we just pray that as we've heard these words here this morning, that we will all be convicted. That indeed, Father, there is a need to build memorials in our lives and to remember the things that You have done for us. And because of that remembrance, Father, that we all need to be reminded the need to continue to work for the advancement of the kingdom of God. We thank You, Father, for the challenging words that we've heard. And may we all be convicted, Father, to live a better life of discipleship individually. May each of our families, Father, be committed to the success of this church. May each of our teachers and our deacons, Father, and our church staff, our elderly, Father, and our children, be committed to the success of the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only to the world, Father, but into each of our own individual areas of influence, at our schools, our workplace, our neighborhood, and in our city. May You give our leadership, Father, courage and boldness to speak the words that we stand in need of, words that indeed will convict us, words that will break our heart. May the Spirit move among us, Father. May we all have a renewed sense of urgency to be witnessing to those around about us in these days that, Father, we surely can see are the last days. May we be busy witnessing to everyone that we have the opportunity to do so.
Yes, Lord.
And reach every lost soul that we possibly can.
Yes, Lord.
Before they step out into eternity. Bless our church. Continue to set before us the open doors that You have in the past. Continue to give us the boldness to go through those doors.
Yes,
we ask all of these things in the matchless name of our Holy Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, and y'all can be seated also. Not quite finished yet. Almost, but not quite. I challenge you this morning, take up a stone. Let today be the day that you're never the same. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Bible also says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We need a commitment to Christ that stands out in this world. Do you remember when you were saved? How many of you remember when you were saved? Amen. You see, that was the day that you made Christ the Lord of your life. But the main problem, a big problem, is that we often forget that Christ is the Lord of our life. So I ask you today, is He truly the Lord of your life? Is He first? Is He number one? Is He your first consideration before any decision that you make? Is He the first thing you think about when you rise up or when you lay down? Is He first See, that's what Lord means. Most of us would have to say no. There was a time when He was the Lord of my life, but I've let Him slip. Well, we all, on occasion, slip. But today, the challenge is to be a day of rededication. A day of giving back to the Lord what you gave Him back on that day when you were first saved. Today's the day to cross over. And today is the day that when people ask you, what happened at Victory on what, March 4th? Today the 4th? You can be able to say, that's the day that God changed my life. That's what we're looking for in our commitment. Listen, I want you to know I've not preached this. There has not been 1 ounce of animosity in me. There's not been 1 ounce of embarrassing, you know, wanting to embarrass people. Not 1 ounce. I want you to know I love you, everyone. I truly do. But I also want you to know that we're supposed to love the Lord with a commitment that surpasses anything else in our lives. That's the challenge today. Our Father in heaven, as we prepare for this invitation, I pray that Your will is done. Lord, I pray that we'll all just evaluate where we are in our walk with You. I pray, Lord, that today would be a day of renewal, a day of renewed commitment, a day when we decide that we're going to cross over into Your promises and do things that we've never done before. But Lord, we realize that starts with commitment. Today, may we commit. I also pray for those here today who are not saved. I pray that today will be the day that they call upon You for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.